Rabbeinu Zal started off by emphasizing that the heart is the center of Yetzer Hara, of Taivois Rois and Midois Rois. And what those do is they break the heart. They're the stains and the embarrassment and the junk in the heart. That's all the Taivois Rois and Midois Rois and Averois. Then Rabbeinu Zal started speaking about the Tzaddik, and he said that the Tzaddik is Moishel. Tzaddik is king. Tzaddik has rulership, authority, that's given to him by Hashem. Who does he rule over? He rules over everything, including Hashem. It's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Tzaddik Moishel Beiras Elokim. The Gemara says that Hashem says, I rule over everything, everything, everything. Umi Moishel Be. Hashem asks, who rules over me? The Gemara says in Moed Katan. And the Gemara says, Hashem answers, Tzaddik Moishel Be. The Tzaddik rules over me, as the pasuk says, Tzaddik Moishel Beiras Elokim. Tzaddik is given complete power, unlimited power to do whatever he wants. And Rabbeinu Zal says, and what's the main power? No, it's picture somebody who can do anything. What's the biggest thing he can possibly do? Rabbeinu Zal says, v'ikar ha-memshola, the main strength and greatness of the tzaddik is lohoir ulehisoirer libam lavoidas Hashem yisborach. His ability to take any Jew, every Jew, the most learned, most religious Jew, who you would think, this person, you can't show him anything new in religion, you can't do anything to make him jump or to make him scream, and the tzaddik has what it takes to wake that person up and show him that he hasn't begun to know the first thing about religion, that compared to what the tzaddik can show him, he's still in pre-1A. Everything he learned so far is pre-1A or kindergarten level. And at the same time, the tzaddik is the one who has memshola to be able to take the worst Russia, whom you would think this person, it's impossible to bring Hashem down to him, to bring Yiddishkeit or Midois Toivois down to such a low place. And the memshola of the tzaddik is such that he's moishel even on that. He can even do that. He can go to both extremes. And Rabbeinu Zal emphasized, where is this memshola? Is it in his feet? Is it in his eyes? Rabbeinu Zal said, the place of the memshola is the mouth. The tzaddik is moishel with his mouth. And Rabbeinu Zal mixed in a little bit from the Sifrei Kabbalah, malupum, mole pum, his peh is mole with elikus. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted the pasuk, Vivorech eschem kasher diber lechem, that one of the main functions of a tzaddik, which is to draw bracha from Hashem, which means to draw goodness from Hashem and supply it to the world, that ability comes through the mouth. Vivorech eschem kasher diber lechem. It's based on the purity of the dibur of the tzaddik, which is based on the purity of the Tikkun HaBris of the Tzaddik, because we've learned many times before that these two are one and the same, the tongue of a person and the Bris Kodesh are the same. When we talk in terms of Sfirois, the Midos of Hashem, when we picture them distributed across the whole body, then the Bris is what we call the Bris Kodesh. When we picture all 10 Midos of Hashem as being in the head, the two eyes, the nose, the ear, the two lips, the tongue represents the Tikkun HaBris, it's Keneged HaBris Kodesh. So when we talk about a tzaddik's whole effect, whole strength, being in his mouth, his Koyach HaDibur, his whole ability to bring Hashem to the world, is with his mouth, it's based on his purity in Tikkun HaBris. Those two go the same. Because the Torah calls Yosef HaTzaddik, the Yosef Hu HaShalit. Yosef was a ruler. He was the Jew who we saw even Begashmias rose to a position of control of the world at the time when there was a famine in the whole world. And the whole world had to turn to one person for sustenance. The individual was Yosef HaTzaddik. Because of his purity as tzaddik, passing the test with Potiphar's wife, that's what gave him this peh kodosh, this mouth, this memshola with his peh, as he told his brothers, ki pi hamedaber aleichem b'loshna kodosh, many different proofs. Then Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say that this memshola, this ability to bring Hashem to people, and this ability, this control and everything, is by the tzaddik on the biggest level, but it's also found by each and every single Jew. Each and every single Jew has a piece of this kingdom, number one, And each and every Jew has a piece that no other Jew has. And that's one of the reasons why that Jew was created. Why it wasn't enough for Hashem to have everybody else except me. If I weren't created, a piece from the puzzle would be missing. And each and every single person has something unique that's not found in any other Jew. That unique goodness is called the tzaddik within that Jew, that person's neshama. Just like the Gemara says, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and each letter represents something different, and it's all the letters together that make up a kosher Sefer Torah. So too in terms of the Jewish nation, there are 600,000 neshamos. If you take away any one of them, the whole nation becomes posel, like a Sefer Torah becomes posel, and each one represents a unique contribution that they make. And again, just as the tzaddik's ability to transmit all of his goodness to Bnei Israel is through his mouth, so too in terms of a Jew, each and every individual Jew giving their goodness to other Jews, it's done via the mouth. The ability to speak, to communicate through speech with each other, and for each person to transmit to the other their feeling for Hashem, or feeling for Torah, or feeling for tzaddikim in Yiddishkeit, that they have that the other person doesn't have. Then what Rabbeinu Zal went on to show, that this even exists on a third level, within, in terms of a person speaking to their own selves. There is a concept, there is this term in English, people say, I feel like I'm out of touch with myself. That even within a person, there's things running in different directions. The Gemara says it on the simplest level. Each and every Jew has a Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. And these are going through a tug of war 24 hours a day. This one's pulling to the right. This one's pulling to the left. This one wants to go to shul. This one wants to eat and play ball and sleep and do all kinds of silly things. And they're both constantly fighting. And this fight is taking place in the heart. And Rabbeinu Zal says, how do you give memshola? How do you give strength to your Yetzer Tov to be victorious against your Yetzer Hara? The answer is you have to speak to your own heart. Pi yedaber chochmois vehegois libi tevunois. The pasuk makes a connection between the mouth and the heart. And the whole concept of tefillah, when we talk about a Jew davening to Hashem, which we know is done with the lips, Hashem sfosai tiftoch, and yet the Gemara calls it avoida shebelev. It's work of the heart. And the whole success of a tefillah is when the mouth and the heart are unified in the tefillah. When a person's mouth is speaking to their own heart, besides the fact that you're speaking to Hashem. Notice, this is something a Jew is supposed to know, that whenever a Jew is davening or learning, and they think that all they're doing is talking to Hashem, communicating with Hashem, it's a mistake. That's 50% of what's supposed to be going on. The other 50% is that you're talking to your own heart. You're talking to your own Yetzer Hara. You're feeding him energy and bullets and everything he needs to compete successfully with your Yetzer Hara. And Rabbeinu Zal brings all kinds of psukim to prove this, that this is something, this is an avoida of a Jew. This is something a Jew has to work on every single day, talking to yourself. Which means, number one, tefillah, when you're davening, you're speaking to two, kavioch, you're speaking to Hashem, and you're talking to yourself. Part of the purpose of saying confession for sins is for the person to embarrass themselves. Besides being embarrassed before Hashem, I'm ashamed to myself when I hear the things I did, or when I hear the things that I'm going through, and everything like that. And bechlal, all the different things that we say in tefillah, talking to our own hearts to give it strength, and so too with Divrei Torah. The fact that the Gemara puts so much emphasis on that when you learn Torah, you must say the words with your mouth, v'dibartobam, etc., isn't because Hashem can't read your mind. If you were thinking the words, of course there's no problem in Hashem knowing what you're saying. But there's a special effect of the words of Torah going out of your mouth and into your heart. Into Hashmeya lo'oznecho ma'ashata mo'itzim yipicha, the ears being the pipes to the heart of a person affecting their own heart. And these are the things, this is the yesoid of this whole chapter on Likutei Moran, that to sum up the entire Yiddishkeit, it's working on three paths. It's making a connection to the tzaddik, or the tzaddikim, who represent one pillar. It's making a connection to every single Jew who is also a tzaddik, the Amir Kulam Tzaddikim, and receiving their contribution. And it's connecting with yourself. It's knowing that you yourself have a place where there's a war going on inside. And just like Lahavdil, when there's a physical war, one of the most important aspects of the battle is being able to move supplies to the soldiers on the front lines. The front line is the heart. That's the front line of battle. And you can't reach in with your hand, stick your hand down your windpipe and try to punch inside, punch out the Yetzer Hara. That can't be done. But what you can do, you can fight with your mouth. With your mouth, the diburim of Torah and Tefillah that a Jew speaks, and the communication with friends and with tzaddikim is all shipping supplies to the heart, to the Yetzer Tov in the heart, to give it the strength that it needs to overcome, to defeat the Yetzer Hara. This was most of what Rabbeinu Zal spoke about here. And when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this nekuda, he used this word nekuda toiva and ahava dikdusha. He was speaking about the goodness that's found in the tzaddik, in each Jew, in the Jew himself. That toiv, which represents the purity of the person, it's the tikkun habris of the person, it's the neshama of the person, it's the emuna of the person, all those things in Yiddishkeit that are called the purest degree of toiv within a person or within religion. This is basically what Rabbeinu Zal spoke about, and we've emphasized this before, that to the extent that a Jew takes this serious and works on all three fronts simultaneously, to that extent the person is succeeding as a Jew. And it's that clear. You mean to say that if I don't have a rabbi, the maximum I can score is 66 2/3? No, I'm getting 2/3 of religion. That's the, if I'm perfect myself, and if I have all the perfect friends that I need, and there's just this one little thing in Yiddishkeit I don't have, I'm not connected to tzaddik, to the nekuda of tzaddik, that nekuda, then 33% of Yiddishkeit doesn't exist for me. And if a person has a rabbi, and their rabbi is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoizal, their rabbi is Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and he has a great rabbi, and number two, he has great friends, excellent friends, but when he's not with his rabbi and when he's not with his friends, which has to be many, many hours of the day or many days of the week or many years of his lifetime, the religion closes down for him. Because when he's by himself, he's not religious. He's not learning himself. And he's not having his spoiler, this private communication with Hashem. Besides the tefillah betzibur, besides the davening three times a day with a minyan, where you're receiving from other people, you hear the other person's krechts, you hear the other person's davening, you see the other person's islavus, all the different things that you're sharing, you hear a kaddish, which can only be heard when there's 10 together. If a person isn't doing on his own what he's supposed to be doing, then again, the maximum he's scoring, if he's perfect in the other two, the maximum he's scoring is 66. So this is very serious business. And Baruch Hashem, it's not 3,000 things to remember. Sometimes a person get nervous. If in Yiddishkeit I have to think of 3,000 different things, then I have to carry a computer around to keep the checklist. It's very simple. It's three major areas which basically sum up the whole Yiddishkeit. And when you look at most, Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halacha says that now that you know this, and now that you've heard this from Rabbeinu Zal, I'll take you through the whole Torah, and I'll show you how every mitzvah fits into these three items. Every mitzvah either represents one of these items, or all three of these items. Which means, for instance, if we say that Shabbos has three sections to it, three meals to it, the three meals of Shabbos. Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Suda Shlishis. V'yanuchu va, v'yanuchu vay, v'yanuchu vam. Then you better be sure that it corresponds to these three nekudos, as Rav Nosson Zal explains it. If I tell you that the mitzvah of tefillin that a person has, that the tefillin have three basic important pieces to them. The tefillin shel roish, the box that's worn on the head. The tefillin shel yad, and the kesher, That knot that's worn in back of the head, which is so important that the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel to Hashem, and he said to Hashem, please, I want to see you, Hashem said, you can't see me, because no human being can see me and live. So Hashem said, what I'll do for you is, I'll pass you by, v'ro'iso es achoyrai uponai lo yiro. You'll see my back, you won't see my front. The Gemara says, what did Moshe Rabbeinu see? He saw the kesher shel tefillin of Hashem kaviyochel, which means that this kesher shel tefillin represents something very, very holy, very special. Rav Nosson Zalman, Likutei Halachos, says, let me show you that if this mitzvah of tefillin is so important that the Gemara says that a Jew who doesn't wear tefillin, it's as if they violated all 613 mitzvahs, I'll show you why. Because a Jew putting on tefillin the right way is fulfilling all three of these nekudos in one zetz. They're drawing from all three. Why? Number one, because tefillin is called ois. V'hayelcho le'ois al yodcha. Ois means tikkun abris, right away. Ois is the nickname for tikkun abris. Oisi li'olam. Lasas is ha'shabos le'roisam bris oilam. Be'inu yivayim b'nei Yisrael, oisi li'olam. Bris and ois are synonymous. So tefillin is the purity of tikkun abris, which represents this pinta letzadik that's found in all three nekudos. Rav Nosson Zal says, the tefillin shel roish that a Jew puts on, roish is tzaddik. There's a pasuk, the word, one of the nicknames for a tzaddik is a rebbe. The word rebbe, Rabbeinu Zal says in the Likutei Moran, is roish b'nei Yisrael. The reish beis yud stands for roish b'nei Yisrael. So the tefillin shel roish represent the Jew receiving that he'ora, that supply that they need to receive from the tzaddikim. From the tzaddik or the tzaddikim. The tefillah, the kesher, that dalid that's worn over here, dalid represents the whole Klal Yisrael. When the Chumash talks about the Am Yisrael, it talks about four sections, four degolim, four flags, dalid machanois, four groups of three shvatim each. When they traveled as a square, the Mishkan in the middle, and four units, which represented the entire Klal Yisrael. That's this dalid that's worn, the kesher in back of the head. And the reason why it's a kesher specifically is to emphasize this hiskashrus of all Jews. That the way that this nekuda is gotten is that each Jew has to be mekusher, really tied up tightly to every other Jew. The third nekuda, which is the nekudas atzmoi, the person talking to themselves and receiving from themselves, that's the tefillin shel yad, which the Gemara says is supposed to be covered. The tefillin shel roish, there's a mitzvah to show it. The pasuk says, "V'ro kol ha'amim ki shem Hashem nikro lecha v'yorim imecha." The tefillin shel roish represents the tzaddik speaking to the people. That was giving to the Klal Yisrael, that's something that's open. The tefillin shel yad represents that third of religion that a Jew practices behind closed doors, when the rabbi is not around and when no friends are around. And he's still a Jew. He's still saying Tehillim, having his spoidedus, learning, working on him, passing tests in Tikkun Abris and all the different areas. The tests that he's going through alone are all represented by that tefillin shel yad that he wears, that's kept cover up. And that's why there's so much, the emphasis of the tefillin is Keneged Halev. We say in the Lashem Yuchud of Tefillin that Tefillin are worn specifically Keneged Halev, Leshabed Bohem Taivoy Sumachshavoy Sliboy. That the main function of this mitzvah, the three sections of this mitzvah, is to supply the heart with what it's going to need to go through the battle for the whole day, that whole front. This is one example of how these nekudos are found in a major mitzvah in the Torah. Rav Nosson Zal goes on to say that we'll take a second mitzvah, the mitzvah of duchening, which the Kohanim do. Now, Kohanim in general are called Ahava. Avraham Avinu was called Kohen by Hashem, and Avraham Avinu is called Avraham Oyavai. And we know in general, when we talk about Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, Kohen represents Chesed, which is Ahava, Levi represents Din, Yisrael is the combination of the two. So the Kohanim, Rav Nosson Zal says in Likutei Halachos, that what's the tachlis of Shmoin Esrei? Shmoin Esrei represents tefillah. Not tefillah, but the highest, the climax of the whole tefillah. We start with Karbonos, Psukei Dezimra, Kriyashma, all leading up to that pinnacle called Shmoin Esrei. And what's the pinnacle of Shmoyne Esrei? What's the grand finale of Shmoyne Esrei? Nesias Kapayim, when the Kohanim Duchen, when they are mamshich, the bracha, they give the Yidden a bracha, which means that all of this tefillah that we were davening was all leading up. What was the purpose of the tefillah? To receive shefa from Hashem. How does that shefa come? Each Jew gets it by himself. Baloney. You need kohanim in the shul. The kohanim, their duchening, what's accomplished by their duchening is this nekuda of the tzaddik being mashpia the bracha to Bnei Yisrael. How is kohen tzaddik? The answer is simple. Kohanim have more requirements in tikkun abris than regular Jews. Rabbi Nazar Abnosis, I'll mention this many times. There are women that a regular Jew is allowed to marry, a grusha, an almana, and a kohen can't marry. A kohen godoil is even more restricted. The whole purity of the kohen is based on this tikkun abris. So they are symbolic. They symbolize this concept of the nekud of tzaddik being mashpia the brocha to Bnei Israel. Now Rav Nosson Zal says the fact that when a person davens, they go through all bilbulim, machshavos. The fact that it's so hard to concentrate on davening is because tefillah represents this item, this conflict in the heart. Ula avdoi b'chol levavchem, the Gemara says, ezeh avodah shebelev zeh tefillah. So if tefillah is talking to the heart, then obviously the heart is putting up a fight. The Yetzirah, that's the combat. The combat is the Yetzirah doing his thing, pulling to his direction, and when the Jew's davening, he's battling the Yetzirah. Now, we get up, and the Gemara, which learns out all the laws of tefillah and Shmoneh Esrei from Chana's tefillah, in the Novi it says specifically, V'chana medaberes aliba. That's the wording in the Novi. What's medaberes aliba? It means that the tefillah is to one's own heart. Besides speaking to Hashem, one of the main purposes and achievements of tefillah is to arm one's own heart. Now, Rav Nosson Zal explains, where does Birchas Koyanim take place? Where does this bracha take place? By Sim Shalom, right before Sim Shalom. Shalom is bris. The Pasuk says by Pinchas, that when Pinchas fought for Tikkun HaBris, when he saw a Jew committing a vile act of Chil HaBris in front of the whole Jewish nation, Zimri ben Soli, and he stabbed him and he stabbed the woman, Hashem said to him, Hineni noisin loy es brisi shalom. I'm giving him my band of shalom, which meant that Hashem declared him a Kohen. Up until that time, the only Kohen was Aaron HaKohen. Hashem hadn't yet said that this was going to be passed on from generation to generation. It was at that point that Pinchas showed exemplary behavior in Tikkun HaBris, in standing up for Tikkun HaBris, that he was given this bris shalom. He was given this nekuda, this ahavo hakdoisha. Now, we know that when the kohanim duchin, and they pass on this bracha, what is their bracha? Asher kedishon mitzvos v'tzivonu, levorech es amo Yisrael. Then comes that most important word, bi ahavo. That what are they blessing, what are they giving to Bnei Yisrael? Ahavo hakdoisha. That's this nekuda that Rabbeinu is speaking about, this nekuda that's called ahavo hakdoisha, that they're shining into Bnei Yisrael. Who can shine it in? The kohen who is ahavo, the kohen who is chesed, he has this ahavo hakdoisha to shine into Bnei Yisrael. This is why the bracha again comes in three sections. Yivorechu Hashem v'yishmorecha, section A. Yoyer Hashem ponav eilecha v'yichunecha, section B. Yisa Hashem ponav eilecha v'yosem lecho shalom, section 3. Rav Nosson Zal goes on to explain and show how each one of these things represent each one of these nekudos. That in order to get this bracha, this nourishment from Hashem, this goodness, it's got to come via these three channels. The first channel, Yivorechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho. Hashem is called the tzaddik. We say in Ashrei, tzaddik Hashem b'chol derochov. Hashem is tzaddik. So when we say Yivorechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho, that represents the person plugging into the tzaddik and receiving whatever they're supposed to receive from the tzaddik. And the pasuk says, Yisa berocho me'es Hashem. That one of the main channels to receive bracha is from Hashem, who is called tzaddikoi sheloilam. The next one, Yoyer Hashem ponov eilecha v'chuneko, Hashem should shine his ponim on the Yidden and give us chen. What is the ponim of Hashem? The Zohar HaKodesh says, Tzadikayo anpei shchinto. Each and every tzadik is the face of the Shechina. When we say Oyer Zorua Latzadik, Oyer Zorua Latzadik, that there is an Oyer Tzadikim Yismoch, that Tzadikim possess a light. What light do they possess? They are the Pnei Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh brings in one place where it talks about the three holidays, Sholosh Pam Bashona Yero Es Pnei Ha'odoin Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Es Pnei Ha'odoin Hashem Do Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That the tzaddikim are called the Pnei Hashem. That when the Gemara says, Chayiv Odom Lahakbil Pnei Rabboi Boregel, that there's a mitzvah to see one's rabbi on Yontif. When a person sees their rabbi, what are they seeing? They're seeing Hashem Kaviyochel. They're seeing the Pnei Hashem, just like the purpose of going to the Beis Hamikdash was. Sholesh Pamara Yeroi Kol Zchurcho Es Pnei Hashem Alekecho in the Beis Hamikdash, where? The Koyhanim. Again, the Koyhanim were represented the Tzadikim, where their major center was the Beis HaMikdosh. That's where a person saw Kaviyochel, the Pnei Hashem. So too, the concept of Tzadikim. Ki sifsei Koyhen yishmeru das, v'toyro yevak shemipiyu, ki malach Hashem tzvoko yisu. Rabbein Ezra many times quotes that pasuk to show that Tzadikim are also called Koyhanim. They have this das. That's this Pnei Hashem. So when we say Yoyer Hashem Pono Veilecho, this Pnei Hashem is the Toiv that's found in every single Jew. How do we prove it? The Gemara says many times, Beroivom Hadras Melech, that when it comes to doing a mitzvah, reading the Megillah or other mitzvahs, the more Jews, the merrier. Why? Because the more Jews, the more Beroivom Hadras Melech. It's the Hidur, it's the beauty of the king. What is the beauty of the king? The king's face. The pasuk says, Hoid v'hodor lefonov. That the hoid and hidur, beauty is in the face. The halacha, the gemara in Yomar, it talks about Yom Kippur. And it says that even though a Jew is not allowed to wash on Yom Kippur, there are two exceptions. A melech and a kala are allowed to wash their face. Why the melech? Melech biyofyoi terzeno inecho. Because the melech's face gives off this radiance, this shine, this glow, which is the Pnei Hashem, this Beroivom Hadras Melech, referring to Hashem Kaviyochel. It's, we mentioned many times that Rav Nachman Shigerinzal, it's brought that when he used to come to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, he would walk around the shul to look in the face of every single person there, because he believed that every person who came to Rabbein Ezal for Rosh Hashanah had Rabbein Ezal's oyer on their face. Each and every person represented a piece of Rabbein Ezal, a piece of Rabbein Ezal's face, which was found in each one of his Talmidim. So this Yoyer Hashem Pono Veilecho, this Pnei Hashem, represents this ponim of every Jew. The Gemara says, "Havi mekabel es kol odom besever ponim yofois." That refers to every all Am Yisrael. The whole concept of a Jew showing another Jew a friendly face and giving to another Jew his hashpo is this concept of this Yor Hashem Pono Veilecho vichuneko chein. Chein means hisparus. Hisparus is not when you have a wall that's painted white, all white. That's not chein. That's not tiferes. Tiferes is a mixture of colors. We mentioned this many times. The Zohar HaKadosh, Yisroel asher becho espoer. Hisparus and chein mean the same thing in Hebrew. That's only when there's a mixing of colors. That's the assemblage of Am Yisroel. And then finally, Yiso Hashem ponov eilecho v'yosem lecho shalom. Now we're talking to the individual. That last bracha is no more the tzaddik, it's no more all your friends, it's you, Mr. You alone. Yis Hashem ponav eilecho to you. That's the ponam of Hashem that's shining into each individual, which each individual Jew possesses, which he has to shine into his own heart. This pi yedaber chochmois veheges libi tvunois, that each Jew has to feed himself. Any questions? Representing the fact that he was a tzaddik, that tzaddik is the klolius of Am Yisrael. Just like we said, Moshe Rabbeinu represented all 600,000 neshamos in one, for sure.
The story of Rivka with the
Shnei Banim.
Vayisroi Tetzu Abonim
Bekirbo.
Symbolism of the
100%. This battle that took place in Rivka between Yaakov and Esav, 100%. Vatelech Lidroi Shes Hashem. She saw this. Vayisroi Tatsu Abonem Bekirbo. Vatoimer Imkein Lomoze Anoichi. Vatelech Lidroi Shes Hashem. Where are you, Doreshet Hashem? Dirshu Es Hashem Veuzoi Bakshu Fonov Tomid. You have to look for the Penei Hashem. Who did she? Where did she go to see Hashem? She went to Shem Vever. She went to. No. That there's something that I've quoted many times in Shiurim, talking about the four legs of a table, being a Rebbe, a friend, a student, and oneself. In this chapter in the Kutimaran, he's combining the Nekudas Chover. It represents both Chover and Talmud. We said before, Rav Nosson Zal showed in the Likutei Halachos, in the laws of teaching Torah to your son and your grandson, that a father and a son are Nekudas Chover. Even though it's that middle Nekuda which a Jew receives from every other Jew, sometimes it's as an equal, sometimes it's two colleagues, two equals, and sometimes it's in the form of a Talmud also. Rav Enizal said, "Umekablin dein min dein." When he spoke about the Nekudas Chover here, he said, "One minute you're giving." He included both in one. He said the Nekudas Chover was you giving to the other person and you hearing from the other person. In this chapter on the Kutaran, he mentioned them under one title, but he definitely mentioned both. If you take a look, "Umekablin dein min dein" means each one receiving and giving. With this also, Rav Nosson Zal explains the whole concept of the battle between Moshe Rabbeinu, the two giants, the real battle of the bulge, between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam, where the Gemara says that when Balak wanted to do battle against the Jews, they said that we know that their giant, his whole strength is with his mouth. Af Onu, we will also go against them with one whose strength is in it with his mouth. They understood that the strength of Moshe Rabbeinu was his peh, his memshola. That's what the Medrash says there. His memshola was with his peh. They were going to pick a Bilam whose strength was with his mouth. What was Bilam's strength? To curse, etc., etc. Where did his strength come from? The tzaddik's strength comes from Tikkun HaBris. Bilam's strength came from his being the epitome of Pigam HaBris, relations with his donkey, the Gemara says, and that was his power in Tumah. That was how he thought he would bring down Klal Yisrael. And over there it says that a malach revealed himself when he was going with his donkey and riding. He bumped into a malach three times. And then he struck his donkey three times. And the Gemara says, why Bedafka three times? Why did the malach block him three times? The Gemara says, because Hashem was saying, you want to go uproot a nation which celebrates three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. I'm also going to come and block you with on three different levels. Also represent, because we had said earlier that Avram, the Sholeish Regolim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, represent Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov represent these three Nekudos. The Nekuda of the Tzaddik, the Nekudas Chover, and the Nekudas Atzmoy. We explained in the previous shiur the fact that Avram Avinu had a Yitzchok and a Yishmael, whereas Yitzchok Avinu had a Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov Avinu was the one which was the final purification, having come through all three levels. Here also, the whole bringing down of Bilam, which came about through Pinchas. Pinchas was the one who ended up in the end killing Bilam, because Pinchas represented the epitome of Tikkun HaBris. He was the one who entered into that battle and flew after Bilam, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, and brought him down and killed him, because he represented perfection in Tikkun HaBris. These are just some examples. And again, this item, there are many, in my own contact with people, there are many people who have all kinds of excuses and make all kinds of excuses, or want to believe that there are all kinds of excuses as to why either one or two or all three of these things don't apply to them, or they can't do it. I can't relate. I can't do religion with people. To me, religion is a private personal experience. Or again, some people with an akudas rebbe, the issue of a tzaddik is something they have a problem with. Each person has to know that if they look at this with an ein hoemes, and if they look throughout the whole Torah with an ein hoemes, they'll see that these are the three basic yesoides of Yiddishkeit, without which a person can't contemplate winning. There's no person's not giving themselves the least chance of being victorious against the Satan. Now here again, if a person says, I have friends, I speak to my friend every day, we talk about how to bake cakes, and we talk about baseball, that's not what we're talking about here at all. Rabbi Nizal's talking about here communication, religion, communication. And again, a person coming to a Rav only to ask whether the meat is treif or kosher, or whether the knife is kosher or treif, again, isn't only what Rabbi Nizal's talking about here. He's talking about a person receiving the strength that they need to do battle against the Yetzer Hara. Each and every single person having a melchama, from the moment a person comes into this world, each and every person having melchama, and knowing that I'm not equipped on my own to deal with it. Picture a person going, which person in their right mind is going to walk out of their house in their short sleeve shirt and pants and saying, I'm going to fight the army of Saudi Arabia now. Person knows that they have tanks and missiles and phantom jets and mirage jets and helicopters and this and that, and this big shot is going out, I can handle it. Person has such a silly gaiva that allows them to think and not to take seriously how ill-equipped an individual person is on their own to deal with this milchemes hayetzer, and how only by a person taking the advice of the Torah on all three fronts. Number one, the avoidance that a person has to do by themselves to make sure to use the mouth. That in tefillah, how much emphasis there is on a person hearing. Again, if tefillah is speaking to Hashem only, then a person could make the mistake of saying, well, Hashem here, I don't have to make any noise for Hashem to hear. Hashem doesn't hear any better if I yell or I say it a little louder or I say it a little more quietly. But based on what Rabbi Nizal said here, that your heart has to hear and your heart has to feel, now there's a second reason why it's important for the mouth to be functioning and speaking well enough, clearly enough, that the heart will hear it. And so too in terms of hiskashrus to tzaddikim and hiskashrus to fellow Jews, a person realizing how desperately I need input from all my fellow Jews. That if I live in a neighborhood like this where there's 2,000 families, there has to be a curiosity and a feeling. Who knows how much there is, how much Yiddishkeit each and every single person has, each and every single man, woman, child, that they have that I don't have, that I have to be mispalt Hashem, that I should be zecha to make the right connection so that I could receive from each and every person their pintala, their nekuda, the toiva that they have that makes them unique, for which Hashem created them, that it wasn't enough for there to be a world without that specific person. And most important of all is the nekudah of tzaddik. This emphasis throughout the Torah, you know, on every level, that there is this bechina of tzaddik moishel, that he's the one who has that to whatever degree you can help yourself, and to whatever degree your friends can help you, there are certain cases where all of that won't help at all. The Gemara in Tainus says that the Gemara gives a list of 10 different reasons why rain is netzar, why there's no rain. Bittel Torah, no Anshei Amono, this, that. Each rabbi gives a super powerful reason why Hashem would hold back rain from the whole world. And they bring proof from Psukim and everything. And after the whole thing, the Gemara says, my takante, how do we solve all of these problems? How do you deal with all of these issues? The Gemara says, Yarbe b'tefillah. That tefillah is a kolius. It's a cure-all. It's a skeleton key to solve all problems in Yiddishkeit. So, but then the Gemara says, what if my tefillah alone isn't good enough? The Gemara says, yelech etzel chosid hadoyer. That's the wording that the Gemara used. Go to the rabbis, the tzaddikim of your generation. There's no such thing as a doyer yosam where there's no tzaddikim, no leaders, and ask him to be mispalel. The chassidish Gemara said, the Gemara was so chassidish that it held from this thing of going to ask somebody else to be mispar. What kind of business is that? I thought that was a mistake they made a couple hundred years ago in inventing this new thing of going to ask somebody else to be mispar. It's written clearly in the Gemara that there are times where sit gornish telfin. You can daven from today till tomorrow, and all of you, the whole Am Yisrael, could daven from today till tomorrow, and if they won't have the tzaddik batting for them, they won't win. The rain still won't come, period. Halavai, we should be zecha to take to heart these three yesoidos that Rabbeinu Zal presented here, and to try to work on all three fronts simultaneously, so that it will be zecha to eliminate this cherpo shavralibi, to make a tikkun, a complete tikkun for the lev, and to be zecha to be mesaken ourselves and the whole Am Yisrael, and get to see the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, v'mehera v'yamein, amen v'yamein.
Amen.